computer. And would someone like to open us in prayer? I don't think anybody's on this. Oh, sorry. There we go. If somebody speaks. All right. I'll turn this off. Oh. Did it go off? Yeah. All right. Would someone like to open us up in this?
Oh,
What? Oh, thanks, Bill.
yeah. Heavenly Father, we come to you today in recognition of all the blessings you've given us, in recognition of all the things that we have to be grateful for, and in recognition of how amazingly wonderful you are, and how powerful and how brilliant you are. And we recognize your design for our lives, that it has ups and downs from our perspective, but your perspective, it is just what you've planned for us, and that someday we will see the beauty and the glory in everything. May we recognize some of that today. Thank you for Kay and for this teaching, and thank you for you endless beauty.
Amen. What a beautiful prayer, Billy. Thank you for that.
Sure.
Sure gets our mind in the right place. So today we are looking at who you are. You are chosen. And chosen is selected, favored, named, set apart. I love this from John Piper. Behind our believing, behind our coming to Jesus, is grace alone. There is no ground for our being chosen beneath the all-wise and incomprehensible love of God. Oh, the vastness of the repercussions of this unfathomable truth. According to Merriam-Webster, chosen is a noun meaning one who is the object of choice or of divine favor. An elect person, selected, are marked for favor. Isn't that beautiful? That's who you are. According to Christ, and this is all scripture. According to Christ, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Even before you were born, God chose you and called you by his marvelous grace. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. For God knew you in advance, and he chose you to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen you, he called you to come to him. And having called you, he gave you right standing with himself. And having given you right standing, he gave you his glory. That's
Amen.
right. Isn't that beautiful? Do you know what that, I mean, this is silly, but it sort of reminded me of like when you give a whatever a cookie, a mouse a
Oh,
cookie.
yeah.
It's like, because of this, you've got this, you've got this, you've got this. Why would God choose me? I like this. So there's a few places I go. Like if I'm sort of like in the grand, like kind of like big picture thing, and I'm sort of like, what is this? I really do go to God questions. And I don't know if you ever use it, but it's really great. If there's something in scripture that I just want, like it pared down, just kind of like all the facts around it, I go to Sonic Light because he has done such a phenomenal job in every book of the Bible. And I think both of those are very trustworthy.
Is it an app?
It's just online.
Yeah.
It's
Okay,
called
it's a website.
Sonic
Sonic
Light.
Light.
It's Dr. Constable's notes. And so both of these actually have DTS at the base of them. And so at least more than anything, you know that it has been contemplated and thought through. I'm not saying that, like, because there are definitely theological beliefs between, you're going to have the dispensationalist there
Right.
versus whatever. They have really scoured scripture and in an academic way, just gone, what is the truth? Like peeling it all back. Also, they have a Bible that the professors at DTS did that's online called Net Bible. And it too has phenomenal, including Dr. Constable's notes, including they go back and put, they'll have a lot of different places you can go to be able to get what theologians have said through scripture. And it's the Net Bible. Again, it's online. They did it. They wanted the Bible for free for every single person in the world. And so, and the professors there are the ones who did that translation. So, okay. So all that to say, I was like, why would God choose me? Gotquestions.com. And I just loved what they said. So I put it in here. Just as God chose Israel out of love, that's why, out of love, and not because of something impressive about the nation or anything they did, God chooses us out of love. As John 1:3:1 says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Why did God choose us? Because of his great love, his lavish love. Why did God choose us? He chose you to demonstrate his character. He chose you that you may know him and love him. He chose you because he is love. He is gracious. He is merciful. And he has a glorious plan for you. And then for me, I'm just like, wow, how humbling to be chosen by God. For we know, brother, we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you. So beautiful. All right, so when is the time you remember being chosen or, oops, sorry, overlooked, sorry. I need to go back and fix all of this. When is the time you remember being chosen or overlooked, and how did it feel? I know you know.
I think it takes us back to often how you say you're one slide away.
A flesh wound away from our junior high insecurities.
Yes, exactly. And remembering, you know, that you wanted to be chosen so bad, whether it was like you're trying out
for so true.
You know, that was when they were fleshing out your differences between like if you were going to be a certain math track. Or
that's so true.
It was like that whole season where you're getting chosen or not.
That's
and,
so true.
And it was all based on, if kind of like when I look back on it, it was based on your worth or your value, if you could do something.
Yes.
It's like the exact opposite of God's economy of I choose you because I choose you.
Yeah.
And I have to remind myself of that, that it was the feeling I got was that I didn't measure up.
Yep. Yes. And then unpack it even further, because it's worth going into, because that's such a terrific example. Because basically what they were trying to do was be able to put people on the track of their giftedness.
Right.
I mean, genuinely.
Yeah.
It feels terrible because they would even put a name on it, like accelerated.
Right.
Or, you know what I mean? And so it made everyone that didn't get that feel like they were less than. See also the football team. See also the choir. I remember when I went to Hockaday, I boarded at Hockaday. I just joined the choir because that's what people did in Wichita Falls. If you want to be in the choir, you join the choir. And I will never forget the very first day I was a boarder. The very first day of the school. And I went because I wanted to. I didn't like I wasn't a troubled child. Okay, but that doesn't mean, so anyway, sometimes people think, so anyway, never mind, never mind. I just wanted to try it. And so when I get in the choir, everybody else in that room had tried out for that choir. And the lady made me stand in front of all of these people. I am not kidding you. I had never met any of them. And I had to sing by myself. And I was not a singer. I mean, I just, like, I could sweat right now thinking about it. It was so horrible. And it's that kind of thing where it's sort of like, wow. I mean, and those junior high insecurities are woven within us, even though all they were trying to do was to get people where they could actually flourish. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so if we could, even to your little self that was 13 at that point, or 12, be able to say, it's just a designation. It's just a group. It's just a thing.
It's not identity.
It's not you.
Did you make it?
I don't know if she was so, felt so bad for me. Everyone in that room was like, there was an audible gasp, you know? And yeah, I stayed. It was the worst thing. Well, it wasn't the worst. It was just one of many.
Yeah, one of many.
But you know what winds up happening a lot? Even though you're accurate that you're just trying to get people where they're gifted, there are people who just don't find a spot.
In those spots.
Right.
Okay.
In those spots.
Yeah.
But then, like, they, you know, and I'm trying to think of an example specifically, like, where like, then you get.
Or like, they don't find the spot that they think they're supposed to
have
because
yeah.
there's certain spots that are celebrated more than others. Which,
or they go for a spot that's not really them because it looks like.
It makes them think because
them
those
think
are the spots.
That's where I need to go.
Yeah, because it'll make them okay.
Or they just
truth
have fun
be told.
It.
Say it again.
Or they just have fun with it.
If they can
have
just
talent.
Have fun, that's why I joined the choir. I thought it would be fun.
Yeah.
And if you can do that without someone waking you up, just have fun. Then it goes to like the essence of our being.
Yeah.
Because what you just said is what he's telling us. Be who you created to be. I chose you. You don't have to worry about the other stuff. And if you can live in the just like being in your lane and enjoying it and flourishing with the good and the bad, because no matter what you're doing, there's going to be hard stuff about it. And there's going to be easy things about it. And it's like, if you can stay in, abide in the vine, like abiding, then it allows these things to just be what they are instead of somehow opine on our worth or our identity. Because what you're feeling, what I was feeling, even in grade school, we did Red Rover at the front field of our school. And man, I was not the first. And the cute little girls were the first ones. And I just am saying, I was never cute little. I was tall on the back row, the only girl on the back row. It was the worst. I always wanted to be little cute in the front row. That was another part of my story. Which was probably a good thing because it made me deal with this stuff early. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Makes you feel icky, doesn't it? The not being chosen. The being chosen makes you feel really great, and then you put a lot of eggs in that basket. And that's not so good either because it makes you feel better than other people. And those are words aren't a part of them. Oh, it's brutal.
Yeah.
Like some fear of that if you don't. I mean, I could sit here the whole time and tell you all of my neuroses with the tennis ladder. You know, oh my gosh, every week you had to defend that thing wherever you were on it.
Yeah.
It just was so brutal. And if you were at the top, you didn't get to challenge somebody else. Everybody was always challenging you.
Yeah.
And so all you had was to lose. And it could be a windy day in West Texas. Those were bad days.
Well,
I know. Oh, the agony. Nightmare. It was like a living nightmare. Anyway, so you don't feel so great. Anybody else? I'm talking too much. I've been around an adult that was very, I don't know. Maybe I just, anyway, how does the fact that God declares that he has chosen you inform your identity or worth today? And where do you need it to inform your identity today?
In everything. In everyone. Gives you hope.
Yeah.
Gives you feeling. And gives you grace. Yeah, and gives you grace. Because I know I'm gonna mess up. But
yeah.
That's okay. Grace is there.
Yeah. This leaning into our identity is really powerful. This being.
It's contentment too. It's like a piece. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, he knows. He knows every part of my being. He knows that I screw up. He knows that. He knows every, you know, any fruit that I, you know, can grow or any problem
is even going to the fruit you grow.
Yeah, it's all
you're
him.
Not the source.
It's not me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all him. So yeah. It's like it's really free. Everything that I am, I be into his hands.
Yeah.
Instead of striving, doing, you know, looking for approval, you know, all the things that the world is constantly throwing at you to do in order to be.
Exactly.
It's rest.
It's rest walking.
Yeah.
It really is. And it makes me again think about Gideon, how he talked about, like, before he even entered the battle, the Lord said multiple times, I have given them into your hands. And so it changes the way you walk into that battle. If it's already given to you, then you're not the one defeating it, and you go in with a slightly different attitude. Okay? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
See also whatever you're doing today. Look seriously. It's not any different. It just isn't. And so it lets you walk differently. I've always thought, like, you know, you sit there and go, people like Princess Diana or who married into the royal family, you know, it's like, wow, now she's got it all. Like, she can breathe, no more striving or whatever. Whatever we like to think of, like, an earthly goodness, marrying into some family, or working for a company that goes public while you're there. I don't know, except that you're a daughter of the King. Your inheritance is him and his abundance, because you are receiving every single thing that this creator of the universe, the abundance that's beyond anything you can imagine, immeasurably more than you could ask or imagine, exceedingly abundantly more. And it's sort of like, dare we walk into today as Gideon walked into that battle with the Lord having already given it to him. Though when he looked out, I don't know if y'all remember, but it said as they looked out over the hill, that it was the amount of the Midianites and the Amalekites was like locusts. Okay, it was more than you could count. Yeah.
This morning I was thinking, and it reminded me of so often when there, and wrong is it right, and it's wrong, and it's not there, and it's not there. God then wasn't there. In fact, God rearranges things so that we want to.
Right. Yes.
So I worry.
Yes.
That there is a right.
Hey, Will, is that Will?
No.
Oh, okay. Selfie. That was not very selfie.
You're right, Tracy. And I think that's the part that's so important, to be able to allow the things that look upside down to just be. Because to him, nothing is. Yeah. Because the stuff can be really stressful in our world. And what a beautiful encouragement to each other. I'm so glad you're here, Natalie. You never have to be stealthy. Just come in. Nobody cares. It doesn't matter. I wouldn't be surprised. I keep thinking, if Will comes in with his dog, will you say, just put him outside if you see him? It's our son. Anyway.
I mean, the UPS man just walked in and set packages on Black Hole.
Did he really? I love it.
Open the door and Come on in.
That's hilarious. That was so funny.
Okay. Did anybody have Walter as their mailman? Oh my gosh, Walter would come in all the time. I loved it. He'd bring me the keys out of my ignition that I'd left in the car. And then he would, because don't you love that you live in a place where somebody can open your door and just do that? He also sent postcards to the kids when they went on vacation. Oh, he's the best. Every day, Jack was so little, and we had one of those slots, you know, that you'd like this house. And Jack, he would hear it, and he'd be like, and he'd open up, and he'd be like, thank you, Walter. And so they just were best buddies. Anyway. Yes, chosen. That's us. Okay, you're chosen by the Lord of the universe, who sees all, knows all, and every single thing bows in his presence. And when we look at Psalm 103, wowzer, that was a fire hydrant. All of these were. On this week, I purposely put it with no prompts except at the beginning, because we need to get, like this summer, do it yourself. Any day, when we're not meeting, please do this yourself. These little prompts are just, they're so dinky. All you have to do is just write what you learn about the Lord, and it will be, and I don't care where you start, pick a book, do anything you want, because it's so powerful. And so I just hope that we just get in the, because it can get exhausting, and you can like do something else that sort of steals your time away in the morning. That's just, you can do Wordle or the mini or whatever. And, just for 15 minutes, just sit in any passage, the Psalms, any book, and just jot it down. Who are you? So today we're going to look at Ephesians 1 through 14. Okay, would somebody like to read that?
Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing. He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. To the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one who loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and opportunity. He comes to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in fact to be put into effect in the times of the future when we bring all things in heaven and together to the one head, Jesus Christ. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who are the fruit of the Christ, might be for the praise of His grace. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who have lost possession.
Well, this has a load. Where did you start? You want
a letter to Paul to the
Ephesians. Okay, so you're going through a little bit of the context. So it's a letter of Paul to the Ephesians. It was about in around 62 AD, I think. I think he died in 65. What?
In prison.
He's in prison. He's in Rome in prison. Okay. What else? What is this about? Why did he write it? For them, but also for us, without knowing them.
I think he wrote it to encourage them of who they are in Christ. Mm-hmm. Christ has done all of
it. Yeah.
And he lays out how that happened in the sequence.
So when you were making notes on this, did you, was that kind of how you did it, laid it out?
A little bit. I just kind of did one-liners.
Okay.
It was a letter to the faithful, all are in Christ Jesus, we're adopted, chosen, redeemed.
Okay, so that's who are you? You are adopted, you are redeemed, you are chosen, you're sealed. And that's sealed like a signet ring, okay? No one, like, it's an announcement. This is, it's really beautiful to think about that and who did the sealing. And it's the Holy Spirit who did that. Like, his stamp is on you and you can't get it off. Like, no matter what, you can't, you can put things over it so that you're not really wearing it. Again, thinking of Gideon, it says specifically, and he was clothed in the Holy Spirit. These are your clothes. Like, it's a part of your, the essence of your being. Is chosen. The essence of your being is redeemed. The essence of your being, of your soul, is loved. Like, as it says, in love he did this. He didn't do it because you did something. He did it because he loves you.
I love how you said, you know, compared to the economy of the world, and just kind of what Susan said, like, it was freely given to us. Like, you don't have to earn it. You have to be the best on your team. It's not earned, you know, like the world, you have to earn, if you get any award, it has to be earned.
Yeah.
Or you do something good. I mean, this is just given.
Yeah.
It just stood out to me the whole time, you know?
Yeah. And it's really worth contemplating. Yeah, Tracy.
I think God through the Holy Spirit knew that for millennia, people would cry and say,
yes.
Wanted to very early.
Yes. Yes.
Well, he did that with Gideon by saying, no, get down to 300 men because this is about what you can do. This is me.
Yeah, 300 men where none died. Right.
Yeah.
And it goes back to the garden. This isn't like plan B. It is all orchestrated, which would really inform where you sit with this really doesn't look good and it looks really powerful and this is really messing everything up, whatever it is. And be able to go, wait a second, this started at the beginning. It just did. When he introduced control into our problems. Because that's what we just, please let me control it. Why? Because if I control it, I see it. I see it. And with my wisdom, I look at what's going to happen and it makes sense. And then I fix and I control and I fix control, which is the essence of do in order to be.
And before the creation of the world, like when? I mean,
yes.
Before the creation of the world, this is already then.
Yes. Before, with full knowledge.
Yeah, but it was given to us before any.
I don't you we then
knew
that
Ernie was a thing.
Yeah. And so who's at the center of it? The self-existent one,
right.
Jehovah. I am.
Or them.
Yes, which self-existence, a key phrase, because he doesn't need anything. And it's not like we would go, I don't need you. Because we, all of these are inside of us to where we can twist it. Because if you tell me he doesn't need anything, well, I'm like, fine, I don't need him either. You know, because you would say that to your sister when you were 13 or whatever, your brother or your mom. I don't need you. You know, because that's where we put it as in a need in order to be okay. In his economy switch, you are okay. You are okay.
And always were.
Yeah, because I made you. You're mine. And it goes back to Isaiah 43, which is where all of these statements came from. You know, and it says, I am your creator, Jacob. I'm the one who forms you.
And the question you ask, you know, how does that declare that he chose, you know, has chosen you to form your identity? And it talks about before the creation of the world. That is just, I mean, just mind-blowing. Like,
it is.
Before the creation of the world, our identity is already formed.
Yes.
I mean, that just is, I can't. But
it's so cool. It's,
yeah.
Because you cannot get your hands around that.
Right.
And you can't get your hands around eternity.
Right.
Because this is eternal love, which means it was yesterday, today, and forever.
So
okay, so here goes the headbender, all right? And the things that we crave, are part of every single thing we've lived in. And so this is where it's like, let it go to battle in your thoughts. And again, gosh, okay, so Gideon isn't the only battle that he did that with. He did it with multiple ones. He showed us in the battle with Gideon all the junk that was happening with the human being going, can I just ask you one thing? Would you make the fleece dry and the ground wet?
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like, oh, please, please. Yeah, don't you love it? He's like, please don't be offended. Please, please, could you make it the other way around? And it's like, yes. And even before Gideon could say, because by the time he gets to the battle with the 300, he didn't say, I'm afraid, could I have one more thing? The Lord tenderly and gently was like, if you're still afraid, take someone with you. Why? Because Gideon would even doubt that. And go, did I hear that correctly? Did I not hear that correctly? I mean, it's so tender and beautiful and merciful and grace-filled and love-bathed. I love you. And I'm only giving you 300 men because if I gave you more, y'all would say you did it. So this is a gift for you too. Eyes on me. Eyes on me. I am the one. This is my deal. All of this is my deal. You're in it. You don't have to decide it. You don't have to decipher it. You don't have to manage it. You just walk in my strength. That's it. Because however you would manage it is not how I'm doing it.
So I see kind of the constant battle. Helps you evolve. Hey, Will. This is a constant battle between reminding, you know, getting up every morning and resetting our thoughts on who we are and who God says we are and living out our day in that. And at the end of the day, or if anything goes right, giving God the glory, which is just a total opposite of what the world says, you know, that get up and make your day and want recognition and want. It's like you're constantly struggling for that worldly.
Which you're going to struggle in the morning, even reading your Bible, for Pete's sake.
Exactly. But know this. Okay, I can struggle in the moment. I can have some kudos and I can have some bad days, but it doesn't define who I am in any way.
No,
like I've got to keep that, you know, that constant stream going of talking to God. Just that prayer all day.
Yeah. And so it's like a shift. It's sort of like, I just want to be bathed in your love because your love is good love.
Right.
Like the love I give myself stinks.
Right.
Your love's good love. So please let me just bathe in that for a minute, which is different than, just got to get in scripture this morning. And then you have to battle those thoughts the whole time you're doing it. Oh, I got in scripture this morning. You know, and it's like, please take these, this, like, whatever the funk is, the goop, get rid of it. And then knowing that the goop is there for me too, because it's like glorifying to God in the great things, glorifying to God in the bad things, because of Jehovah Shammah, which I've told y'all earlier, Jehovah Sabbath has been my favorite because he's, you know, everything seen and unseen bows to him. I now, the fact the Lord is there, holy Toledo. I don't know why that one's just like busting me, because it's like whatever has in this, like on my timeline, we're, you know, and yours too, you're right here. But you have a load on this side and you have a load on this side. And to consider the fact that God is there in every single aspect, what in the world? And you talk about safety, then I breathe going, yes, you are, you. The Lord is there. R is the right. It's a present tense verb for any part of your timeline. And so that changes things to be able to go, okay, I don't understand this, but I want to know more and more and more. Please give me freedom from my thoughts. Give me freedom from the things that hold me captive. Give me freedom from the do in order to be, or the, you know, all the if thens, all the productivity. And let me walk and do, not to be, but to experience you. Gideon experienced the victory. How do we know that? Even the people, when he went over the mountain and they were like, oh, I know what this dream is. It's Gideon. It's Gideon who's coming to defeat everybody. Gideon, the mighty warrior. And Gideon was not a mighty warrior. Like, really, he was a fraidy cat, terrified, hiding things so that they could have them, okay? They could eat. So anyway, it's really powerful. Stick it into whatever you're doing today. Let it be the filter. There are great things about Instagram. Filters can give us I don't know how to use a filter, but I know that it, like, makes something over you. And so why not consider the fact that, I mean, it's almost like, please let me just wear the white clothes you've clothed me in. My kinsman redeemer, who loves me before the beginning of time. Yeah, it's so powerful. Chooses me. I choose you. Red Rover, Red Rover, like, hey, come over.
It's off quote. This week, go to sleep. Your worrying is making you tired.
Yeah.
Let God be God.
Yeah.
But that's true.
Yes. Jehovah Shammah. He is in my future. He is there before I get there. Okay? Because my timeline's linear. His is not. He is there. And it's the same for the past. I mean, we live a lot in the... It makes you pray differently. Instead of maybe praying redemption over the things that have happened, please let me live in the redemption, because it's, you've already redeemed it. Let me live in that and go forward instead of living in the past. Yes, and it can inform even the things you don't want it to inform. Do you know what I mean? The things you want to hold on to, your bitterness. I mean, there's a few things where I'm like, I'm going to sit in that bad attitude for a while, because it's warranted. Do you know what I mean? That's the thing about mercy. And I think that's why that was my favorite thing in the Peace Project, the practicing mercy, because mercy, it's warranted that you don't. I mean, something hurt for mercy to be in the picture. And so you have every right to be bitter. Except bitterness is not a good thing. It's not for you. Handing it over to the one who has redeemed it all, the one who is saved, the one who is the mighty warrior, the one who is your banner, that allows it to be where it is and for you to live holy and fully, instead of like tethered to some bitterness that just steals your peace, because it always steals your peace, always. It can't not, okay? And he's given us peace, you know? Yes, so all of that, like being able to begin our day, even going, I'm doing this and my head's full of all kinds of, like, depending upon where you grew up and how, you know, because some people probably never opened their Bible. And so they would go, I can't, how do I come at this? I don't know anything about it. And some people have been like weighed down by someone saying, have you had your quiet time today? Okay. And so either way, you have funky messages in your head. Please let them be quiet. Let my thoughts be still before you, and please inform them so that I can go through the day and not let it. It's like, because he says on the armor, which I think sometimes we think we have to put the armor on. BTW, it's already on you. You do not have to put it on. You just get to wear it.
But we still have to remind ourselves,
which is
that we have
it on. Wearing it. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in
it's
that
there,
wearing,
we know it's there.
Sort of.
We don't. Yeah, we have to be conscious.
I know.
Call it up in our mind. Otherwise, we're very.
And then
people.
Right, and let it be what it is, because the flaming arrows, they will come at you, but they go doink. Okay.
It does say put on the full armor. So
yes.
I think technically, yeah. Just
it's the wearing.
I agree
it.
With you, but it's
this is the beauty of scripture, because it has.
If we decide to not, you know, put it on, or whatever we're doing in the world.
I think
we,
we,
you know,
put
we
clothes
reject,
over it.
Yes.
Yes, I think,
yeah,
we, and
do
we do that
thing,
all the time.
Then the armor, okay,
it's still on. So.
You can't, it can't not be on you, but this is the thing that he does in scripture. He puts these things in place, almost like obey all the law. Good luck with that. It has to go to the place where he is the one that has clothed you, which he has. He says it, I have clothed you. And then you get to see, I've clothed you in righteousness. Okay. I have clothed you in peace. And it's sort of like, if he has done that, as he did it then, he's doing it now, and it's done forever. And we see in Revelation that you're dressed in white. He's wearing the red. He has the crimson clothes on. He's the lamb drenched in blood. And we are those saints that are dressed in white. I can put all kinds of clothes on the outside of that and not wear my clothes so easily. We do it all the time, because I'm going to manufacture what, and again, this played out in the garden when they clothed themselves. It's a little not so great compared to how he clothed them. And he didn't ever leave them. He never loved them. There's people in scripture that I'm like, I don't know how, I would never have, I don't know, because everybody has their own thing. Because a part of me is like, I really wouldn't have wanted that ride. And I think of Adam and Eve, and it's sort of like, I think we would go, oh, I wouldn't want that ride because they're the ones that did it. Let me tell you something. They are the ones that lived in the presence of God and wholeness and goodness. And if it were me and I knew what that was like, I would never, ever want to breathe a day without that. I don't know how Lazarus did it. How did he come back? Like, how could he do that?
Don't you think that after the garden, they were just miserable?
No.
No?
As miserable as you. You know what I mean?
But I haven't lived in the presence.
This is where there's something about him that they knew. Same with Hagar.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, Hagar. She got to say the name. But God sees me, and he said, go back. And what did she do? How could she have done that, Billy? Like, really and truly. She was abused. She was discarded. She was a less than nobody.
Right.
Okay? And she had to give birth to this child. And I mean, it's like, how does somebody do that? And there's something about knowing the God who sees me, that was enough for her to go, okay, I'm there. It's like fill in the blank of any of these people. How did Moses, knowing full well what was, he knew the power of the Pharaoh like nobody else. And he knew that guy because it was his brother, his stepbrother, or whatever you would call it. He was adopted in, it was his brother. How did he go stand in that court with a staff, like after he'd killed somebody and they knew. There is something about the knowledge of God, which he says even in the scripture, that we can know him. The intimate knowledge of the Almighty is the power and the strength to be able to do the unthinkable.
Well, maybe they knew, you know, which is the beauty, and then they sinned. And then they knew his forgiveness so deeply that they could.
And there's something, so whatever it is, it was enough for them to continue and to be able to fulfill the purpose through which he had prepared in advance for them to do. It just seems like a hard, because I look at that, Paul had a behind the veil experience. It's just, it's amazing. Isaiah did, John did. And maybe part of John's, although we know that that was really when he was in the island of Patmos, but I just don't know. John's one of the few disciples that said the disciple who Jesus loved. He got it. He understood it. And he led with that. And it's sort of like, I want to receive the love like John did enough to be able to lead and go, this is who I am. I'm Kay. The person on this planet that Jesus loves. Because each one of us, that's actually your calling. Do you know what I mean? And then to live in that, to be able to let the rest play out, because I don't know, but he does, and we know him. He invites us to know him. Let me know you more and more and more, because you are my shield. He says that, I am your shield. I am your very great reward. And so to think of those flaming arrows that pelt you, and it's like a little Nerf dart versus a takedown. Because if I'm not wearing the armor, it's a takedown. But it's not an unsafe takedown. It's safe because of who it is, that every one of those flaming arrows.
It doesn't discount the hurt and what you might go through.
Yeah, and you're still safe. Always. It doesn't discount the sadness. Please feel it.
Right.
He did. It didn't. Because of who he was, it did not discount the pain at all. It rendered it, I don't know.
Well, it's interesting.
No.
But it's interesting with the armor of God, you know, it starts with she's strong.
Yes. Yes.
But it says, yes. Twice. But, you know, in other words, whatever that means, that, you know, in fact, understanding
what does it mean? I think you are
about,
you're
like
calling it out. Yeah, I think it is. It's like call it out. Yep. It's on you. Let me let it be what it is instead of me holding the sword. Because that's where when you put in even what the armor is, it's him. Like all of it's him. And then for a second to go, he has sealed me with the guarantee of the Holy Spirit, who quite frankly is the power. Like he's the source, even at the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. It's like the power is him. The one who defeated death, raised life to never die again, which Jesus was like, you want this? This is the power, okay? This is the power of me. It's the inside of God. In 1 Corinthians, it's so beautiful. It's at the, I don't remember which chapter it is, but it describes the Spirit of the Lord in such a way that you might be able to relate to it because he relates it to the spirit of a man, you know? And it's sort of like, because you have a soul, we're spiritual beings. You may or may not even know what you're thinking all the time, but I have no idea what you're thinking. I barely have an idea of what I'm thinking. The soul is the inside of me, the essence of me. It is a part of me. Do you know what I mean? But this is my body. My soul is different. It's the essence of my personage. And to think, this is what's so sick, to think the essence of the personage of God lives in you? Seriously. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but that, like, I have chills everywhere because I think it's like a whisper going, yes. Yeah. Know me. Because I love you. I love you so much. I love you so much. Like, I mean, there's times where I'm like, that he would say that we are his portion? What? That we are his treasured possession? Seriously? Please let me live in that. In the safety, the beauty, the abundance, the steadfast love that is on. I know you guys see that more and more now on repeat, as you will see Chosen on repeat. Just this passage alone, how many times was in and through said? In my version, it was 12. In those tiny little, how many sentences? It's pretty significant. And it forms the armor of God. You know what I mean? It's like, I want to receive that, but I also want it to be me putting it on, because if I'm putting it on, then I'm doing something. And then if I'm doing something, then I'm in control of it. And yes, and then I can stand before you in the armor because I put it on. And that's where the disconnect starts to go, going, boy, that makes me feel weird because I'm putting it on or not putting it on. And quite frankly, most of the time, I'm not putting it on or even recognizing it.
So what I'm hearing you say is that, so in the mornings, hopefully we can wake up and daily, moment by moment, episode by episode, year by year, challenge by challenge, our essence of God and our innermost being manifests itself more, so that the armor, the flaming arrows, life's hardship, joys are all experienced more with God than through the way the world wants us to interpret.
Or even the way I want to interpret. Because I want it to be
the way I have it, my life plan.
Or for even forget about the plan even. I just want it to be, well done, good and faithful servant.
Right.
Which means that I have a basket of good things.
Right.
To put.
Because anything good in me is good.
Right. Then I'm just telling you, it becomes absolutely irrelevant. There's no way Paul said, I know the secret of being content, whether in plenty, because in my economy, plenty means I did it right.
Right.
Or want. Want means I'm not doing it very well. And he's very clear about that. And then he uses the cool word, through. That's where it's like, just read, ask him, what do you mean by that? I don't understand. And let him illuminate it, because I don't know. I don't know. Apparently my need is to be hearing it over and over and over and over, because there must be something in me that has performance issues. And I can tell you, yes, yeah, for sure. And so he's prying my hands off of that. Finger by finger as I put him back on. And then he's like gently going, yes, I see you doing that. Okay, here we go.
Right.
It could be so many things for any of us. It could be unsettling things that are in our periphery constantly, whether it's news, whether it's, you name it. It could be those that unsettle us. And it's like, wait, I want my eyes on you so that all the unsettling things, I can just know that you see it all, you know it all. It bows to you. And if it's bowing to you because it can't not, that changes everything. Because then I have to be able to sit in the truth that all of this stuff, you've got it. And so I can walk in wholeness and be able to address those things instead of having to address those things so that I can feel settled.
Or feel a little lacking.
Right.
Because you show us or give us what we need.
Well, and how is that? Because the essence of the Lord God Almighty, which it almost seems even wrong to say, is somehow living in you and me. Seems really too much. Like really too much. Until you rest in the love, because I think it would be overwhelming. And that's why I think with Moses standing before that burning bush that did not consume itself, to be it, every single aspect of himself that he showed Moses was enough. It was for Moses, and Moses continued to live. It's why he covered him, because he would have died. The goodness is too much. Like, it's just too much. And that's where it's sort of like, let me even trust that you control this people. And let me trust too that I don't have to explain it to everybody. Because you can. But it's really fun to contemplate it together, because it's encouraging as we struggle through going, yeah, this work put on, like I have to put it on. It's hard to deny there's an action. Okay, obey the law, obedience is better than sacrifice. It's hard to say. That's an action. Okay. Yeah, well, a lot. I love that N.T. Wright calls it like the acts of, like, it's the acts of Christ through these people.
Right, right.
Okay, and that is so great. Okay.
And it's a choice.
Well, but even then, to say this is the acts of Christ through these people changes it from being the people acting out. Hebrews 11, we love that chapter because it's a faith hall of fame and we can look at it and go, oh, I need to be doing this. I want to be doing this. I don't know. It's not what he was saying. He's like, look at the Lord and what he did through these people, which is different. It's that nuanced difference that's so significant. Okay, so that's all I have. I mean, I don't even know what to say because I'm not a theologian. I'm just telling you, I'm a human being. Huh?
So should we go on to John?
Yes, because it's just like, there's so much. So in this, we, you know, in Ephesians, bye-bye, you know, and not bye-bye, but like bye. You're forgiven. You and this word, yeah, I know. The word is I have obtained and the inheritance, okay? Which means it was yesterday, today, forever. And you're sealed and you're chosen. You're sealed. All right, so John 15, 1 through 17. Anybody want to read that one? I'm happy to. John 15. I am the vine. Yeah, see, here we go. I am the vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. He does that for the branch, FYI. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes. That does bear fruit, he prunes. That it may bear more fruit. Already, you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, and neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. And here's the commandment. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, and if you do what I command, you are my friends if you do what I command. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all I have heard from the Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command so that you will love one another. Okay? What's the key phrase in this one? Abide. In who? In Jesus, and Jesus is abiding in the Lord, okay? So what do you think abide means?
Like coming alongside, yoked,
Mary versus Martha.
Interesting.
She said,
yeah.
And we would just say, she was not doing her part, but Martha did.
Yeah.
When I've got all the people here, I can do work.
Yeah.
She's having a lot of fun.
Okay, isn't that funny? Because you're right, Natalie. She is.
She is abiding.
Yeah, and she just is. It's like, what's wrong with enjoying? Because he says, this is for the joy, that you, my joy might be in you. What's wrong with that? Why are we so like, well, it must be hard? Because you can still, the greatest thing, and Solomon said this in Ecclesiastes, that your toil, your work's never going anywhere. That's part of the story. It's part of it. And it's there for a reason. And he said, because good things happen to bad people, bad things happen to good people. And he
like
also,
the work will always be there. Jesus says that.
Yeah.
And I'm here for a short period of time. So
well, because Solomon says the gift of God in all of it is joy. Okay? Which should be kind of like a, maybe that's something for us to go. And I don't know. I in my head, I think of settledness. And maybe that's part of joy. Like, this is contentment. Contentment is joy, because joy isn't happiness. Happiness is usually related to a circumstance that's happening. Joy is like, is so much deeper than happiness.
I think of abiding, you know, sometimes when it feels overwhelming or work, I think of the hymn, Hold Me Fast. You know,
yeah.
Or I don't know if that's a title, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's almost too much to think that the work in that to abide. I'm failing at abiding, you know?
It's hilarious to say that, isn't it?
Yeah, but I'm like, just hold me fast. I would just keep thinking of this when I just feel myself drifting or feel myself just not abiding, you know? And because it's his work.
Right.
It's not ours. There, we don't have to abide. It's in the mess.
It's okay, Tracy. I mean, it's... Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
It's a constant communication.
Yes.
Yes. And don't depend instead of.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
It's in still with us.
It's in the doing, because the doing is our trip up. It's our trip up. It just
he
is.
Created us to do
he did.
That stuff for
exactly.
Us to
yes. And so that's the key. It's the doing, but not in my strength, in his. And if I'm abiding, and I really think of abiding, welcome to creation. It's around us all day, every day, where you go, what is abiding? That tree. The branches of that tree, they're abiding. They're connected to the roots. Like, their source is the root. And so it's so in that moment, like, if I am grumbling because my kid told me to be at the school at 3:30 and now, you know, I've made it through all that traffic. And he's like, oh, I forgot I had a meeting. And it's like, you know, whatever it is. Someone just honked at me. And I'm like, what the heck? Why are you honking at me? Or if I find myself doing everything and nobody else is doing anything, I go to the, you know, like to the bathroom and all the stuff's on the floor and all you had to do is pick it up. You know, why can't you put it in the laundry? I don't know. Whatever it is. If I'm in the grumbling or if I'm like the, it's a good thing to me. I've just made it about myself. Okay. So
like
this,
the,
go.
I was going to say the, just the analogy of the vine and the father as a gardener, and all of the clipping, all of that is for the health of the people.
Yes.
And so to
yes.
cut off the dead stuff. So
yes.
It's not harming that that's still living.
Yes.
And then cutting that that's living in order for it to grow better.
Yes.
I mean, it's like, it's all for us.
Yes.
It's
yes.
not that he's, you did something bad, I'm chopping that.
Yes.
Like, no, it's all of that is for the growth
yes.
of the plant.
Yes. And it's a hard thing to
it's a hard thing to yeah. realize that bad things, other things, things that I wish to happen. But the Lord's doing something
yes.
for me.
Yes. This. Yes. Okay. Yes. Please look that. So does that do you are we tracking with that? It's similar to Gideon fighting an army that was as large as locusts with 300 people. Okay, that seems impossible. And he didn't know. We know what happened on the other side. He didn't. All he knew is that he had to fight that army. And it was for him. Inasmuch as it was for the people that were peeled off and told to go home. Okay, because yeah, they could feel it. All of it. Okay, right. And these are people. All right, because somebody could go, well, I was discarded. Okay, it's like, what trial are you in? Dare we approach it as and just do this, receive whatever the gardener has for us, knowing that if it's pruning. He is inside me enough to be able to allow me to have joy in the pruning. But I don't want to do that. Okay? Yes, Natalie? Yes, and this is one thing. Don't say it to anybody. By that, I mean, if somebody's going through hard times.
Oh, I know.
You know what I mean? It's like saying, this is for you. No.
It's rough.
No, but we can pray together along those lines. We can walk alongside, being able to say, I hear you. And being able to feel our own pain in that it's their pain. Do you know what I mean? Not taking on their problems, but being able to go to that truth. Because sometimes in the midst of the hardship, it's really hard for us to hear. But walking alongside someone's hardship, it might allow the truth to inform our hardship.
Jennifer Klaus is what influenced me this. Back in the day when she was going through all the cancer stuff, and just saying it was a blessing. God blessed her with cancer
right.
because she was able to suffer for him like Christ did. She felt like that was just his love for her. And
yeah.
I mean, that just totally changed my whole thinking.
Which sounds weird.
It's, yeah. It does, but it just, and I mean, he tells us that
he does.
He loves you. And this
yeah.
is how he shows that he loved you.
Yes.
She knew she was loved because of her suffering.
Yeah, more than she'd ever known in her whole life.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You talk about a performer? Because she had drunk the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
And it was like, wait, that Kool-Aid was killing me.
Yeah.
You couldn't have told me that cancer is what would give me life.
Yeah.
But it allowed her, instead of like peeling the fingers back on, peeling the fingers back on, it was like, look out.
Mm-hmm.
And so she did this. Okay, so, but please hear, because we think, well, it's got to be cancer, or I've got to be Joe.
No.
That is not what he's saying. He's saying, in the good, I am the same as in the bad, and all of it is for you, because I love you. I want you to experience the fullness of my strength that is the source of life coming through the vine to the branches. When you walk out, there are these beautiful flowers that Billy just put there last week. When she put the flower down, it was one. Okay, it was one bud, one rose
one,
was blue,
one open, yeah.
one open bloom. Okay, and it was so beautiful. When that bloom decided, when it was time and it was over. And again, this isn't even connected to the vine, so it's really not that great of an analogy, but it's kind of an analogy. It would be, except it's not connected to the vine anymore, although it would do the same thing if it was on the vine. And when that flower stopped, I pulled it off. All right. And now there's five. Look at it. And those flowers are not going bloom, or they're not going, I don't want to be like the one that just had to. Do you know what I mean? The source right now is water. It's not the true source of life, although those beautiful vines will come back next year, right? Don't those roses bloom every year?
The one in my front yard, it goes huge and just covered over.
Is it a knockout rose?
No, it's a David Austin rose. And it's a climbing rose that's not climbing. It's just in a It's just out in the middle of the place. And it's not even, I didn't even plant it there. I put it there until I could decide where to put it, and it rooted to the ground. And so, anyway, what was the question? Sorry. Anyway, it's doing its thing right now. Oh, will it come back? It's going to bloom all summer, but this is what's called first blush in a rose. And so it just goes like crazy right now, and then it'll just have some roses through the summer.
Okay. And that's a great, it's a great analogy in nature, because you could get up in the morning and we could like have our quiet time in the morning. I'm just saying you can walk out the door. He's everywhere.
I got his quote. Do y'all know who Jamie Winship is?
Yes.
He's the guy who's been just having this incredible movement in the Middle East, transforming the lives of Muslims and bringing them to Christ. And so his definition of abide is, abide is just a decision to stand next to and listen. Abiding just means the commitment to stay with. And then the staying with is where you learn everything. And I love his definition of abide.
And then to even hopefully take it a step further, the Lord is the one who takes care of the staying with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because I'm fickle. I'm out in two shakes. And the thought that this vineyard has me connected to him is so powerful.
Yes.
It's a match. Okay. Anything else on John? What time is it, Chrissy? Is it 11?
I just know it. Almost 11.
Okay. Tracy.
On that, when did this, just right before his crucifixion?
Yes. Thank you for bringing that out. Yes.
His last words.
Yes.
Over and over.
Yes.
Like, I really want you to know. But my presence.
Yes. Yes. That's so glad you said that. Yes. And this passage was on repeat. I'm the vine, you're the, I love you, I love you, I love you, my joy in you. I mean, it's like, and maybe those words were in them so that they, when it all was going down, literally, this was at the Last Supper. It was going down that night. I don't know. And then a part of me thinks he's human. Was this on his lips too? So that when they were, doing what they were about to do to him, this was completely, even though he is God, I don't know how that works either, except this is flowing through his brain, that's a human brain. Those neural pathways, think about the amount of time he spent with his father.
To be able to make that analogy between the father and him and us, is in his.
It's like in his arsenal to be able to put
that
his,
for us to understand.
That gives me chills. Thank you for pointing that out, Tracy. You're right. That timing is significant.
Yeah, on the very.
Yep.
And 16, right after that, it says, I did not tell you this first because I will. He's preparing them to be bomb. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which again, this is God.
Right.
He knows. Yeah. And is he like, shame on you, you terrible people? Do you see what you're making me do?
No.
Yes, he's with them. The joy set before me. He was with them in the garden. Going, don't clothe yourself with fig leaves. It is not enough. But in the biggest picture, you have no idea I'm giving you the real clothes. Okay, the next, anything else on John? Let's just read Isaiah 43, 10 through 17, because this is where our whole stuff is from. Isaiah 43, 10 through 17. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord. This is God speaking. And my servants whom I have chosen. And what did we just hear Jesus say about servants? We're his friends. Okay.
Yeah, we're not servants anymore.
I know.
Free.
And then he says, that you may know intimate knowledge and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed. Nor shall there be any after. He is God alone. I am the Lord. And besides me, there is no Savior. And here, these beautiful past tense, I declared, I saved, and proclaimed, when there was no strange God among you, which is really pointing to the garden, okay? This was before, okay? He declared, saved, and proclaimed right there. And you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am God, and henceforth I am he. There is none who can deliver from my hand. I work, and who can turn it back? Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I love this. For your sake, I send to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives, even the Chaldeans and the ships in which they rejoice, because they're looking at the ways of the world going, yes, I'm mighty. And he says this, I am the Lord. And now he's intimately saying, your Holy One, the creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior, and they lie down. They cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. What do you learn about yourself, and what do you learn about God?
I love you said, and a couple of weeks ago, we read something that stuck out to me again. I'm not some foreign God. Like he just always wants us to know, like, there's no one but me.
Yeah.
And that just significantly sticks out to me.
Yes.
And it's just a little statement, but it's so powerful. Huge. He's like, it's just me.
It's just me. Yeah. And foreign God, he takes into context every single nation, every people group, anybody that has lived, will live, that is living right now. And it's like, I'm it.
Right.
And I love you. I'm your God. I'm your Holy One.
I know. It's just this all-powerful.
Yes. And then all these powerful things of the world. And in this day, it was the chariot, the horse, the army, and the warrior. They lie down. It's that same, I prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemy. Mm-hmm. Everyone's reclining. And they can't get up. And he extinguishes it like a wick. And I know for you guys too, you're probably rereading this going, yeah, he did part the seas. And he did do these things. These aren't like made up facts. It's reality. And then he says, I extinguish it like a wick, which is, and it's extinguishing it, even with the water that came over that army. And it's sort of like, that was a picture of slavery. And then to take it to the bigger picture where he eradicated it. Mine, the stuff that holds me enslaved. My sin. Okay, my sin, the sin of the world, everything that I've done, everything that has happened to me from anything that was impacted by sin, any aspect of sin or death, it's in his hands and it is extinguished like a wick. And so it was like, dare we be in that place where we can't wholly see it, but understand that that is the fact. That's the reality. So that like Gideon, we walk in the wholeness of who we are, even though we're in the midst of the battle. Should we quickly read? Okay, I don't know. It's just so much stuff. So may it just wash in anything that we're talking about, please let it augment whatever you wrote down. And then Psalm 103, do we have time? I think it's probably too late, but it's just so beautiful. Sorry, everybody. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, please bless his holy name. And then my mind's in the right place, okay? My thoughts are in the right place. Bless the Lord, O my soul, again, that my essence, please, and forget not all his big benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that you're renewed. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. Because, you know, those things actually are for us, like Susan was saying. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. We know that because he said just before that he's forgiven us. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him in awe and wonder. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who are in awe of him, who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like the grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over and is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. And by that, again, it's like, where are your thoughts? In awe and wonder and worship? Then please let us live in wholly in that everlasting love, instead of letting the things trip us up so that we're not fully living in it. To those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandment, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works and all the places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It gets your brain in the right spot. Thanks, you guys. All right, Lord, please go before us this week. Open our eyes today to be able to see someone that needs an encouraging word, to be seen, to have their name spoken, to be loved, for your glory, for your name's sake, and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you. So it's next week, the last one?
Next week's the last word. I can't remember which one that is.
El Shaddai. Didn't you think of Amy Grant when you think of that? No.